Few would argue that the cable channel TCM has become a peerless brand when it comes to the presentation of classic films and the fostering of a community of film lovers. The upcoming TCM Classic Film Festival in Hollywood offers TCM's devout fans an opportunity to enjoy some great titles on the big screen, surrounded by fellow cinephiles. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The TCM Classic Film Festival returns to Hollywood April 28th to May 1st, and I'm pleased to have back on the program TCM Senior Vice President for Programming, Charlie Tabish. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Charles. Good to talk to you.
Great to hear your voice. I know you're putting the finishing touches on this year's seventh annual festival. 7 years in, does it get any easier?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say. Well, the first year was probably the hardest because we really had no idea what we were doing, and I think since then it's probably, you know, been about the same. It's a lot of work, but a lot of fun, too, and seeing it all come together is really satisfying in a lot of ways.
Well, it's just extraordinary when you and your team are working the other 365 days a year and programming the channel, so it's not like you get a rest when this is over, either.
Well, yeah, no, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, they didn't... They added another job onto our existing job of programming the channel, but that's okay because it's something I think we all really enjoy working on.
By my count, looks like over 80 titles this year.
Yep, that's right, and plus our usual panel discussions and conversations at Club TCM, and full weekend of film related programming.
I know in past years, when you've curated this collection of films for each previous festival, you've tried to work in a major overarching theme. I think this year you're calling it moving pictures, and I gather that term goes way further than just the literal name for movies.
That's right. It's sort of about how pictures do move us emotionally, how they have an emotional impact on us, and what what some of the films are that are especially emotionally satisfying and that, you know, I think move us as audiences. And that's a way a lot of people connect to movies. I know that's one of the ways that I really connect and feel satisfied when I am emotionally moved during a film, and whether that's through tears or being inspired or in other ways, I really respect films that can have that impact on me as an audience member.
You know, after so many decades of watching so many films, it still is an amazing thing to me that we can go into a dark place and watch this flat screen with some projected light and sound, and somehow it takes us away and actually triggers physical reactions to what we're seeing.
It's so true, and it really, I think it demonstrates the skill of a filmmaker and filmmakers, and of course, you know, it's a collaborative effort. So it's the writing, it's the director, it's the music, which is so important. It's and bringing it all together, the editing and how it all comes together. And you're right. You know, I think, you know, we've seen so many films throughout our lives, but they still, the good ones still are able to have that impact on us.
One of the things I love about your festival is not only is it showcasing these great films and sometimes overlooked films that are great, but we haven't discovered yet, but it's in a way also a craft festival. You mentioned, you know, all the pieces that come together to make a moving picture, and you've got all of these great panels and ways of going deeper and really understanding and enhancing our experience of just how that all comes together magically and through a lot of sweat and tears.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, of course, we're very much about film history, and that we want to look at it from various angles, and that includes the craftspeople, and it includes, you know, everybody that's involved in making the film. And so we do make an effort to highlight and pay attention to maybe some of the more overlooked people that have been involved in filmmaking over the years. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
I think that with 80 films in 4 days, it can still be a daunting task to navigate your way through a schedule like this. And you have a number of sub-themes that you've broken down your major category into, themes like inspirational sports movies, coming-of-age films, animal films, religious films. Do you find that some of your attendees sort of stick to a thread and follow that thread through the festival, or they drop in and out of particular films?
I think it's all over the map. I think people usually sort of just decide what they want to see at any given time. So I don't think that they stick necessarily to a specific theme. There might be some people who do that, but I think for the most part, they sort of mix and match going through it. So yeah, and you're right to point out those various sort of themes, which are different ways that films move us. Whether you know it's animal films that we get emotionally invested or attached to the animals in the films, or it's coming of age. Also, two of the categories just that I've wanted to do a little bit more with over the years have been religious films and sports films. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been a natural way to include those until we did this theme, because both of those fit into this broader theme of moving pictures really well. So that's one of the things I like about this theme, too, is it's a chance to play a few religious films, which are such an important part of film history, and some sports films as well.
Two that really jump out are King of Kings, the great Nicholas Ray film, and Intolerance, I guess you could quasi call it a religious film. One of its sections is, at least.
I suppose that's right. And then, of course, The Passion of Joan of Arc with the live music and the Voices of Light score that Richard Einhorn composed, which I just think is one of the most beautiful film scores of all time. And I'm really, really excited about that.
When you go through this, I know that a lot of these big films, your opening night is on All the President's Men. You're showing films like Rocky and The King and I, so there's some really enormous classics in here. It's a Wonderful Life in the schedule this year. But I also love that you sprinkle amongst all of these redwoods, if you would, what you call the Discoveries thread, which is a really great chance to see some pretty obscure, rare titles and new restorations of those titles. I tend to end up in those theaters. And it seems like I see the same faces almost in every screening. And that's where I think there is a niche of your audience that is coming specifically because they understand this may be the only time this year to see this particular film on the big screen.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, just even speaking for myself, I would say if I were to be coming here as an attendee of the film festival, there are plenty of big titles that I would want to see on a big screen because I might have seen them on television or on home video, but I've never been able to see them in a theater and with an audience. And so I would want to go to those bigger titles or those bigger films. But at the same time, we always want to offer people a chance to discover movies that they might not have even ever heard of, or maybe they've heard of them and haven't had a chance to see them at all. So, and at any given time, we try to have something that is, fairly obscure and give, people a chance to want to see something that they've never seen before and a chance to discover films. So definitely it's our goal to provide that diversity of programming, I suppose.
Of course, it wouldn't be a festival without some amazing special guests, and you always have a long roster this year. Francis Ford Coppola, Rita Moreno, Gina Lola Brigida, Elliot Gould, I'm really looking forward to seeing, I presume, with MASH.
And The Long Goodbye.
And The Long Goodbye, two great Robert Altman films. Now, a lot of these guests, they're introducing and talking about the making of these films, which is in and of itself a great experience. But I gather some of them may be in extended conversation in other events during the festival?
That's right. So we have longer conversations with Carl Reiner, who I don't think you mentioned, with Gina Lola Brigida, who's doing an hour conversation at Club TCM, where we have our special panels, and Elliot Gould as well, in addition to talking before a couple of his films. But, you didn't mention what I will bet you is the most popular guest that we have, just based on having had her once before on our first or second year, and that's Angela Lansbury.
Oh, yes.
Who's coming with The Manchurian Candidate, and she is just enormously popular, and I will bet you that we sell out the Grauman's Chinese for that one. But yeah, no, we of course like to have great guests like that come and talk for as long as we can get them.
I used to get this question a lot working with a classic film festival. And what do you term a classic?
Well, there's really no definition. And I think, from TCM's perspective, it's always dependent on the context. Mm-hmm. So, if we are playing a film that is part of the career of an actor or director that we want to be featuring, then any film from that actor or director, I think, could qualify. And we certainly don't have a cutoff in terms of year. This year, I think one of the most contemporary films we have is Boys in the Hood, which certainly fits the emotionally moving category, and then we have John Singleton coming to celebrate the 25th anniversary. And I think, of course, that certainly qualifies as a classic.
Boy, has it been that long already?
It has. That's right, 25th anniversary. So, you know, Cinema Paradiso is a film from the 80s that we're playing. That's, you know, not, to me, not only a classic, not only emotionally moving,
sure,
but such a great tribute to, you know, to classic film and to lovers of cinema. So we don't have a cutoff. It really depends on the context. Last year, as part of a tribute to the editor Ann Coates, we played Out of Sight, the Steven Soderbergh film. So it really just depends on what subject we want to take a closer look at.
I know that you and your comrades there at TCM spent a lot of time putting this together, and I'm sure the schedule, this is about the 100th iteration of it as you've moved blocks around, but you all are always running the festival. Are there moments, though, where you can carve out to not only enjoy the festival, but maybe enjoy a film or two, something you're looking forward to seeing yourself?
Yeah, I usually try to find time to at least see one of the silent films with the live music.
Mm-hmm.
So I will probably do that for Passion of Joan of Arc this year. I think beyond that, I'm kind of running around a lot. I'm lucky if I can sit down for a half hour and watch that much of one of the films. But I'll try, depending on how things go. Maybe I'll make it through Cinema Paradiso because it's closing night, and that'll be the very end. And
right.
I'll be able to
nothing left
that.
To do but enjoy.
That's right. I'm also really excited about The Endless Summer and Bruce Brown. I love that movie. I love surfing documentaries, and so I might try to catch, you know, a good chunk of that as well.
And that's the godfather of surfing movies.
That's right.
You've been vice president of programming for some time now, and I'm just curious, given your age, I don't want to give anything away, but we're probably contemporaries or close to. Did you grow up watching classic films, and or did your parents share them with you? How did this come to be?
I did grow up watching classic films. I grew up as an only child in a lot of times in neighborhoods where there weren't a lot of kids around, and so I watched TV, especially on the weekends, a ton. And when I was growing up, that there was a person in Los Angeles who presented classic movies on weekend afternoons, and so that's really where it started, and I grew to love classic movies then and there. And then, of course, like a lot of people, when I went away to college, I got a little more ambitious and a little more interested, and I started to watch more and more and kind of delve into different directors and actors, and so it sort of evolved from there. I never studied it, but I grew up watching and loving classic movies.
Sounds like we were both doing it contemporaneously. We got early L.A. channels here and cable, and I was probably watching those same programs every weekend.
Oh,
KTLA,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Tom Hatton was I remember the guy who used to have a projector on his
right.
Sitting next to him.
All those great matinees. The festival this year begins and ends with two films from the 70s about journalism, and I know you have a number of other films, but these two particularly capture kind of where we were and maybe are. The great Watergate film, All the President's Men, kicks the festival off, and then you close things down with the satire farce network that has become maybe disturbingly prescient in where we've ended up, at least with television journalism. No coincidence there, or coincidence?
Oh, no coincidence. In fact, I think because it's an election year and because it was the 40th anniversary of both of those really great and important films and relevant films, I decided to sort of add a little bit of a journalism sub-theme as well throughout the weekend. So we're also playing Ace in the Hole, Billy Wilder's great journalism movie, and then A Face in the Crowd, which is another one that just seems topical. And so that definitely not a coincidence, and it just seemed like a good year to jump in and take a look at some of these films that I think are really relevant for where we are today. And it is the 40th anniversary of both All the President's Men and Network, so it just seemed appropriate.
I should mention that there are still a few festival passes available, and of course El Paso has a number of daily nonstop flights to L.A., so listeners can still get in on this treasure trove of films. Charlie, it's been great talking with you. I really wish you the best this year at the festival and hope to see you out there.
Yes, thank you, Charles. It's always great to talk to you.
I've been discussing the upcoming TCM Classic Film Festival in Hollywood with TCM Senior Vice President for Programming and Production, Charlie Tabish. The 7th Annual TCM Classic Film Festival runs April 28th to May 1st, and you can find everything you need to know about the festival's more than 80 film presentations, along with its myriad special guests and events, at filmfestival.tcm.com. For more of my conversation with Charlie Tabish, log on to ktep.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.